Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury.
Great to be joined, as always, by Bob Nightingale, USA Today. My friend, welcome back. Great to have you with us again.
Yeah, my pleasure, Steve.
All right, so, Bob, where do we stand today?
Well, they met this morning for about 30 minutes, and, they're meeting again this afternoon. So, and it's like anything else. Everybody waits the deadline. Deadline's midnight Monday. I still think that if they're close, they could push them, back to Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I have a hard time believing they can't get a deal done by the, by the end of next week.
Well, where, in your opinion, based on your reporting, where do they need to close the gap so they feel comfortable they can close it out?
Well, they haven't even started talking about the collective bargaining tax yet, the luxury tax. So that's a little worrisome. They're still far apart there. But, as far as a salary arbitration, now it's like, the players have said, okay, how about the top 75% of the guys who have 2 years service? Baseball sucks, 22%, top 22%. And there's a big difference in the money as far as how much is in that pool. Whether it's a, $95 million difference between the two sides. But, and even, the minimum salary, they're far apart, but they can easily meet in the middle and give about $700,000 for minimum salary. It used to be $570,000. So I think the owners are on board as far as giving younger players the money. Where they differ is that they still want to penalize the teams that spend big to help out the small market teams.
Is there a sense of urgency on each side?
Well, yeah. I mean, MLB yesterday told the players, hey, if we don't get a deal done by Monday, we're going to have to delay the start of the season. And not delay it, just, cancel games. If we cancel games, you're not getting paid. So there's a sense of urgency there. And the players responded by saying, well, then we won't give you a expanded playoffs. You won't be able to wear, decals and patches, patches on corporate sponsors on uniforms, that sort of thing. So I think, no one's presented their best offer yet. I think that's going to come, Sunday, Monday.
Best offer, okay. I was hoping the best offer would be made last July, but that's all right.
Okay. I mean, they, it's like they've had all, they could talk about this all summer long, all winter long. But when the lockout happened on the midnight December 1st, there was another bargain negotiation for 43 days. And they only had six, from then. Then finally, of course, they, sat down in Jupiter, Florida, where they are now. And this is the fourth straight day they've talked. First time they've ever they've talked four straight days.
You love baseball. I love baseball. Right? So we both love the game of baseball, the sport of baseball. I wonder sometimes if those in baseball think it's still 1956 where it's baseball, boxing, horse racing, and they don't know it's 2022. That's just my opinion from 30,000 feet. How do you view how they view themselves in the big picture of what sports is?
Well, I think there's some worry there. They got to be worried. I mean, I bet you, Steve, 90% of the country didn't know there was a lockout until Monday after the Super Bowl. It's like, what do you mean spring training's not happening? Right. People weren't talking about baseball. There was a, Gen Z survey nationally, a month or two ago, and, 21 under adults only had baseball as their sixth favorite professional sport, even behind beach volleyball. Tennis has dropped down four straight years. Lowest rated World Series of all time was last year. So they got some problems.
Do they realize they have problems? It's one thing for you and you and me to recognize there's a problem. Did they realize that?
Well, they should. Just with the popularity, with the declining attendance, declining TV ratings, it should be a wake-up call. We'll see how many sellouts there are this year. I think season ticket sales are down about, or ticket sales in general, down about 30% across the board. People are kind of discussing what's going on and that, lockout is even happening. So, you know, even when this lockout ends and you start playing baseball, they haven't done anything to change the, you know, change the game. We're still going 6-8 minutes before balls being put in play, you know, more strikeouts and walks. So that part hasn't been addressed whatsoever.
Which was going to be my next question. Bob's done the show so many times, he anticipates my next question. and my next question was going to be about that. Now, I don't know if I'm right about this. My understanding was the players were willing to talk about game changes and how the game has changed, but the owners didn't want to at this particular time because there are other they want to get to the economic issues. Am I right or wrong about that?
Well, I think, yeah, the owners didn't want to bog it down. Like, you know, we got enough problems to solve on economic issues. Let's don't mess around with this. It's a, you know, it's the same waste of time. But they just didn't want to get involved in it. So they said, let's save this. I mean, if they wanted to, Rob Manfred and, you know, MLB office can implement it by giving 1 year notice. So you can still do that before opening day. And he definitely wants a pitch clock. But, yeah, I mean, they hired Theo Epstein and everybody else to try to make changes in baseball. And, you know, it's not going to happen for a couple of years.
It's interesting because right now, obviously, I've got another basketball game to do with Northwestern on Friday night. The late Dave Gavitt, when he put together the Big East, always talked about how college basketball needs to fit into two-hour windows for TV. Okay. We know, you know, hockey's about 2:15. Now, football has gone longer because of incomplete passes, but it should be in that 3 to 3:15 range. Baseball, of course, doesn't have a time frame on anything. Do they realize the TV windows, which also satisfies ballpark windows, need to start being satisfied?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, the time of game keeps going on. It's like, well, at 3:11 last year. But
yes.
It's not the time of the game. It's just the inaction. I mean, 6 minutes before a ball is put in play.
Right.
You know, 2,000 more strikeouts than hits. You know, someone said to me, I thought it was perfect, is that if the NFL was like baseball, you'd have a quarterback stand back and throw a bomb on every play. Hey, it's cool when it works, you know, once or twice a game. And that's what's happening in baseball. We're just kind of waiting for a home run. Okay, that lasts 30 seconds of action. But there's no rallies. I mean, the beauty about the NFL or, you know, college football is the drives. And, you know, in baseball, it's the rallies. And we don't have it anymore. We don't see guys getting on base and that sort of thing. You know, there's so many former players, you know, Hall of Famers, Goose Goss and John, that are just disgusted with the game. They say it's hard to, you know, they can't watch it.
I do respect people who put together analytics. I do. It's not as if like, I'll sit there and use a stat here and there when the moment is right when I'm broadcasting a game. But I've felt of late that those who love sabermetrics feel it is the only way to win a game, while I look at it as one of the ways to win a game. How do you view that?
Yeah, I mean, you gotta watch the game. It's like when you know, when Cash of Tampa Bay, you know, pulled out Blake Snell. I know that was their system and everything else, but you got to watch how he's doing it. The analytics is just, you know, math. It's taking away the human element. You know, don't tell me a guy can a pitcher can pitch the same way in the ninth inning as the seventh inning. They can't. You know, guys are different. There's a one-run lead. So, some guys can handle it. Some guys can't. Same with pressure moments and things like that. So, you know, analytics has always been part of the game. I mean, it's like math. I remember sitting in the Whitey Herzog's office, and he had spray charts on where guys are hitting, you know, but nobody, you know, said, okay, this is the, you know, it means everything. Let's take out the human element. And that's not right.
Right. And that's different. All right. So there's been, as time has gone in recent years, you talked about spray charts. Spray charts also mean shifts. All right, because you're taking all that knowledge and saying, hey, this is where he hits it. These are his hot spots, so you cover it. Every sport has restrictions on movement somewhere. Baseball defensively does not. Do they need, in your opinion, to think about restricting shifts, just go two left, two right?
They may have to. I mean, at some point, you know, it's not, you know, you would hope the hitters would adjust. Like, okay, hit the ball the other way. If there, you know, nobody's standing, you know, on the left side of second base, you know, you can't lay down a bunt or slap the ball that way and probably get a double out of it. But yeah, maybe you at least start in the dirt. Everybody's got to be in the dirt when the ball is thrown. Then you can run out to, you know, short right field or, you know, what have you. You know, maybe that, try that in moderation. So I understand, but you know, left-handed hitters being frustrated, that sort of thing. But but take advantage of, you know, when they're giving you that much space. You know, to hit a ball to the left side, and you know, literally you can run to second base. Nobody's around. So, but yeah, we'll see. I think they may have to do something on that just to do something to help the hitters, because it's tough to watch.
I was at a game at Fenway Park, and the Red Sox were playing the Royals, and David Ortiz came to the plate, and of course they had three guys on the right side. I think in this case it was the third baseman that was playing in the shortstop spot, and Ortiz dropped a bunt down the third baseline, and of course he, even for David Ortiz, he beat it out with relative ease. Okay, and everybody gave him a standing ovation. So I've seen it, I've witnessed it.
I had breakfast a few days ago. Goose Gotches, you were talking about Boone Powell. He said they shifted on Boone Powell. He goes, Boone Powell laid down by five straight bunts. That's that end of that. They quit shifting on Boone Powell. It's like, you know, take what they give you.
Right, exactly. What's this been like for you, who loves covering the game, covering personalities, being at a ballpark, to cover the sport this way and what they're doing right now?
Well, it's tough to watch. I mean, some of these games are so dull. You know, it's like a. I don't mind long games, and when they're exciting, you know, whether it's a, some of these World Series games, those games in WBC are really exciting. You know, and they. Just have to see some action. And so the trouble is now, in the last couple of years, you know, with the COVID restrictions, so you're not in the clubhouse talking to players or manager or coaches. You know, just a Zoom call type thing. You're not seeing the baseball scouts around, so you're not talking to them. So you're relegated to just sitting there and watching a game that's become dull. I mean, you know, I love the postseason. I'm not saying the postseason is dull, but you know, there's too many games that just take forever without a ball being put in play.
Yeah, because I was talking to Corey Provis, who does the Twins, and Jason Benetti, who does the White Sox. And they both do Big Ten basketball. That's why, you know, I've had a chance to talk with them along the way. And, of course, because of COVID, they can't really get around the batting cage that often. How tough has that been to get away from that part of it? And are you concerned that they will continue to keep you away from it?
Yeah, I mean, the interaction's nothing like it was, you know. The restrictions are being reduced or completely eliminated, you know, in different states now and municipalities. So hopefully they'll let us back in. I did read where the NBA is going to keep the reporters out for maybe forever. They were saying that at the All-Star game. So we'll see. Major League Baseball, at least the communication department, said, hey, everybody's allowed in. Yeah, you're allowed in pending union approval. So we'll see what the union says. I mean, I can't see being back in a clubhouse in spring. It's going to be too wild, and, you know, let's ease off a little bit with the guys coming from everywhere with COVID. But at some point during the year, I'm thinking you got to get back in the clubhouse and just get some nice, you know, personality pieces and perspective so people know who these players are.
That's the part they need to understand. You tell their stories, right? And the vast majority of the stories, are good, right, and fun.
Yeah, particularly in baseball, where you know, come from every walk of life, and you know, you can look like, you know, you can be 6'10" or 5'3" and you know, have the same kind of career. There's so many good stories in baseball.
Yeah, and you guys tell them. Finally, what's it been like for you trying to cover this and the economics of it, and as opposed to covering a game?
Well, it's just so strange. I mean, I don't think 99% of baseball fans could care less just hey, when does the season start? When is the lockout ending? And I don't think they care for the drips and drabs of the labor negotiations. You know, now it's starting to heat up until Monday. You know, they got to cancel another week of spring training games. That's going to come here in a few days. But yeah, I mean, it's just a not what anybody wants. I mean, the postseason is my favorite time of the year. Spring training is my second favorite time. I love spring training, seeing guys relax. You haven't seen guys all winter, and now that's eroded big time.
Absolute pleasure. Thanks so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Sure, my pleasure. Thank you, Steve.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
I was listening to Roger's wonderful ad there about the United Way and the positivity campaign. Did you hear that, Matt? Still with us, Matt? You quit? And I listened to that, and that's one thing about it. You got to give this suit a lot of credit. I mean, when it comes to the positivity campaign, he always has been at the forefront of that. Because, I mean, over and over again, he has told all of us he's positive, he's great. All right, that's, everybody has their own positivity campaign. All right, today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Six great flavors of slushies. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors Studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, great new inventory, fabulous pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. And a service department takes care of inspections, routine diagnostics, I mean, everything. It really is one-stop vehicle shopping, all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. In fact, I was on sunburymotors.com today checking out a couple of vehicles, as a matter of fact. All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, you feel like Matt and he are actually brothers, and I'm out. It's the king.
I'm not out. We're three brothers. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Well, good. Thanks for caring.
Believe me, I do.
Do you remember the pivot ball game we had?
Yeah, sure I do.
Remember that?
Of course.
And then we were missing a ball. We were always missing one ball.
Yeah, always.
Number five, I found it.
where was it? In the basement?
Dad's workbench.
In the basement. Oh.
I swept everything out. Now the basement's completely.
Actually.
And this ball comes rolling out. It said number five. I said, oh my God, that's the pivot ball that we lost 40 years ago.
Yeah, and if it could get lost, it would be under Dad's workbench because he always had a lot of lumber under there.
Well, yeah, there's a lot. Not now. I got some of it out, but I'm leaving some of it. I mean, if I'm buying a house and you want to leave me lumber,
I'd take it. Especially today.
A fortune now. So.
Yeah, especially today.
Yeah. But I thought it would crack me up. I'm like, oh my God. Why did we draw a Boston Bruins symbol on the wall?
I probably did that.
You weren't a Bruins fan, were you?
Yes, I was. As a kid, absolutely I was. I was Bobby Orr, Bruins. Remember, because the Whalers weren't until I was older.
Well, I was a Canadian fan.
Well, I know you were. It was like one of those. No, I was a huge Bruins fan. I listened to the Bruins on the radio all the time. Bob Wilson.
That's right. Okay. I get because, all the walls are empty now, so all the chalk things that we drew on the wall,
now, how did you get to be a Canadian fan? Was it just to have the brotherly, to add the rivalry into the mix?
No. First of all, they always won. Let's start
with
that.
Yes, that's true.
Well, yeah, but see, back then, there weren't as many teams.
Also true.
They were on TV.
Yep.
They were on TV a lot.
Right, they're the original
wasn't
six.
A whole lot
yeah.
of TV. It's like Notre Dame. Yeah, they were on TV every Sunday, you know.
Well, the table. Lindsey Nelson.
Yeah, Lindsey Nelson would announce the game, re-announce the games on Sunday.
Yeah. After an exchange of punts, Notre Dame took over.
About Boston, so that was not an option. So. Well, it's funny. Now I'm a Bruin fan. All these years, so.
I had a tabletop hockey game, right, that I got for Christmas.
Yep.
Which I still maintain is the best, as a kid, the best Christmas gift I got. Love that thing.
That's such a cool game.
Oh, I know. So the two teams that it came with were the Detroit Red Wings and the Los Angeles Kings. Now, when I got this game, it was just after they'd expanded the NHL. They'd gone from six teams, Montreal, Toronto, the Rangers, Blackhawks, Red Wings, Bruins, and added in six teams. So they added in the Los Angeles Kings, the Minnesota North Stars, the Oakland Seals, the Philadelphia Flyers, the Pittsburgh Penguins, and the St. Louis Blues. Okay? And so when I got the game, I'd had the game for how long? How long did we have that? Maybe
about a long time.
Yeah, we had a long time. But after I had it for maybe a year or two,
yeah,
you know, I was cleaning toilets and cleaning the shop on Sundays, and I saved my money, and I sent away
$5.
Right, yeah, to get all the teams. So I had all the team. I sent away and got all the teams. So in other words, I had both divisions.
Yeah.
And so we would play specific teams against each other in the game.
He would announce the games, Matt.
That doesn't surprise me.
I still do.
He would announce the games. And then
I got one tonight.
Too. So, go ahead, do the crowd.
Well, they needed me last year.
I was the crowd.
I was the crowd and the announcer last year for the game, so it paid off.
Yeah, that's kind of what I did too.
We had a blast, man. That's so cool.
So then, you know what I did with the two extra teams I had. So I had the Wings and the Kings. I had two Detroit Red Wings and two LA Kings, right?
Yep.
So when they expanded with the Buffalo Sabres and the Vancouver Canucks, we used them as the Buffalo Sabres and the Vancouver Canucks.
Yep.
What?
The only organized game we played. It was actually organized. Any other game we played, well, except for electric football.
Electric football, yeah.
Believe it or not, I had that too.
Electric football?
Yes, I did. I had Giants Cowboys.
Yeah, that was cool. You know, and you turn it on, you'd set up your players to block and all that. And it's cool. But then we played this baseball game with Lincoln Logs that we made all of our own stuff. It was so cool. We built our own walls and had a vortex. So that you would take and flip the log out. It was brilliant what we had set up.
We did. The only thing about electric football is every once in a while, you'd get the one dude who'd go in a circle.
Yes. Just spin.
I despise that so much. I know.
You can't give him the ball.
Yeah.
So you'd avoid. So that guy you put out as a wide receiver, just let him spin.
Yep.
Oh, man. That was so much fun.
Now, the baseball game we set up with Lincoln Logs. And we had a and my dad, of course, sheet metal fabrication shop. So my dad would get, obviously, large sheets of steel. Well, what separated the large sheets of steel? Cardboard. So these are large pieces of cardboard. So Kevin and I would take the cardboard home and we use it to set up and make walls in our baseball stadium in the basement. And we had a piece of wood that we made up a scoreboard on.
Oh.
Okay.
See, that's what's up. You guys are creative.
And
we have fun.
Okay. In the Lincoln log, okay, you take it and you add one, you know, and you set it up as a fulcrum. And the small
like
one in the back.
Seesaw.
Right? And launch it. Well, if it goes over the wall, obviously it's a home run. If it went off the wall, it was a double. It went off the scoreboard, it was a triple. I think the bullpens, which we drew bullpens, the bullpens were a triple. And then we had a measuring stick that if it landed in a spot, and so boom, and you take the measuring stick, it was close enough to the baseball cards. We had our baseball cards on this field.
Yep, nine cards.
Nine cards, and that was an out.
It was the coolest game. I mean, we could have marketed the thing. We just made it up. We didn't copy it from anyone.
No, we just made it up ourselves. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We could probably do something with it now, huh?
Yeah. Well, now the Lincoln Logger people are listening now.
Steve Jones, like Madden football. Steve Jones baseball. I'll be your manager.
Perfect.
Matt will be the marketing manager.
Marketing. You know, and the guy that's going to want to be the announcer is the suit. All right, so oh, here I am. It's me. Just do the game. Oh, it's all about me. Do the game. All right.
That would be so funny. We could do a virtual. People make a lot of money doing stuff like that, you know.
I know.
Have games. Yeah. Market the game. Look at that game, Wordle. You ever play that?
No.
No, I have not.
You play it, Matt?
I have not.
I mean, all it is spelling out a five-letter word. The guy who invented it is a multimillionaire now. And it's just you got six tries, and the whole world plays it, and it's one word every day, and you got six tries to figure out what the word of the day is. And as you pick letters, the letters either come up black, and they're not in the word. They come up yellow, it means the letter's in the word but in the wrong place, or they come up green, and they're in the right spot. And you got six tries to get the word. I thought, what a stupid game. And then now I play all every day.
Well, actually, that game was the suit's original idea, but they're all one-letter words. We'll come back with more in a moment. Great to have you with us today here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. So let's get some picks to close out the week. I've got an hour and a half before I'm at the Jordan Center for tonight's Northwestern game. So let it rip. What do we have?
All right. So last week, Steve won it 7-1. I went 6-2. King went 5-3 to begin our college hoops picks. So now we start with some SEC action tomorrow. UK at Arkansas. King, I know who you're going to pick.
Arkansas. Kentucky can't lose enough games. On my deathbed, I'll say I hope Kentucky loses today.
Steve, what you got?
Well, I asked the suit what he thought about the game, and he said, I like Arkansas. I mean, he just scares the daylights out of me. I said, what country do you think Arkansas is in? He became confused and went back to the one-letter Wordle words. All right, I'm going with actually at home. I'm going to go with Arkansas.
Ooh, okay.
No, I think Musselman's got them playing really well, especially at home.
Arkansas is good.
Yeah. Yep.
They are a good team, but I like Kentucky right now. I'm sticking with John Calipari, the Clarion grad.
Oh my God.
Next one, another SEC.
So it's because of this week and all the stuff going bad, huh?
Yeah, let's go with that. Auburn and Tennessee, Steve.
Oh, boy. Bruce Pearl goes back to Tennessee, huh? I am going to go with Auburn. I think they've got just a few more parts than Tennessee does. I mean, more options.
I got Auburn outright in this game. King.
Well, I thought
I got the Tigers. Tennessee is like lined up with. I don't like them either. Auburn.
There you go. All right. Now we go to Big 12 action. Kansas at Baylor. King.
Kansas.
Okay. Steve?
Yeah, I like Kansas as well. You know, Baylor's playing a lot better. Akinjo, actually, whom when he played against Penn State at Georgetown, I didn't like, is playing really well, but I'm still going to go with Kansas.
I'm going to take Baylor at home. I don't like the way Kansas has been playing lately, especially on the road. So I'll take Baylor in this one. Next one, Gonzaga at St. Mary's. Steve.
You got to be kidding me. It's like Gonzaga's going to win this game by 10 to 15 points.
Yeah, I'm going with the Zags in this one. King.
St. Mary's.
All right, there we go.
The best game I've ever seen. This is a huge rivalry. This isn't a
normal game.
These guys hate each other.
I'll tell you.
I've seen St. Mary's upset Gonzaga a couple times.
Yep.
Oh.
Hey, did you, either one of you watch the, we talked about Arizona, Oregon last week. Either one of you watch that game?
I did not.
That was high level hoops at 20 paces. That was really good.
I saw UConn beat Villanova.
That was a good one, too.
UConn's playing great.
They are.
UConn's good basketball.
They are playing great. Yeah. Cole's a really good player.
Yeah.
And, you know, and Danny Hurley does a good job of firing up the crowd.
Yeah, and then he gets kicked out.
Remember that Marv Levy line from NFL Films? You over-officious jerk. Well, that was the definition of it. But what's great about Levy is that he looks at the assistant coach. He says, Ashley went to college with that guy.
All right, we're going back to the Big 12.
Ranked 23. They're not a bad team.
No.
And the only reason I'm saying that, UConn was ranked 21 and Villanova was ranked 8. You know?
Yep.
There's not a big difference between the top 25. There really isn't.
No. Very close.
All right, so we're going to the Big 12 again. Monday night, Baylor again, this time at Texas. Steve.
All right, see, now I'm going to switch up and go to Baylor.
I got the Bears as well. King.
Baylor.
All right, Tuesday now, we got a pair of games. Speaking of Nova, they host Providence, who's also very hot right now. King.
That's a tough one, boy. I'm going to say I took Villanova. I'm going to switch it to Providence. Providence.
Steve.
They're a good team.
Providence is really good. I tell you, the kid they got from St. Joe's, the transfer when they blew up Phil Martelli, yeah, nice move, is a heck of a player. But Villanova at home, I'm going to go that route.
I like Providence too, man. They got some stones on that team. I think they're going to be very dangerous come March Madness very shortly. So I'm going with
Rhode
Providence
Island
on the road.
Will be out of control because they really have nothing to root for.
Pretty much it. But I'm picking Villanova, though, in that one.
All right, then finally we end with Big Ten action Tuesday night. Purdue at Wisconsin. Steve?
Look, I think the difference actually is going to be the bench. Purdue has one and Wisconsin does not. Wisconsin's bench average is 9 points a game. This is all about the starters. I know playing at the Kohl Center is huge, but I don't think it matters to Purdue where they play. I think they'll win.
I agree. I love Purdue. Purdue, I think they may even win this at least by 10 or 15 points. Steve, or King.
I hope they beat Wisconsin to death. I know the coach was wrong for popping the guy, but, you know, and he deserved to get popped, so I don't like Wisconsin anymore.
Okay.
They're on my hit list, too.
Purdue. Look, Wisconsin is, especially at home, is very good. Purdue needs to be a little bit better defensively, but offensively, Purdue is a superior team. And Jaden Ivey.
I'd love to see Purdue win it all.
Everybody knows how I feel about Jaden Ivey. If I'm an NBA general manager, I know you've got the kid from Gonzaga. I got it, but he needs more weight. You've got Banchero of Duke. You've got Jabari Smith, obviously from Auburn. But the first guy I take would be Ivy. Jaden Ivy has an NBA game. He makes some moves to the bucket that are reminiscent of what George Gervin used to do.
Yeah, I love watching Ivy play, too. I'm right there with you.
Oh, I mean, he's the one superior athlete in this league.
Did you guys see Misha Tate won Big Brother? Hello?
may have missed. I did know, but I didn't see it. I actually did know, though.
Oh, she is one tough nut, boy. But she won the whole thing. One celebrity spawned $250,000. So,
hey, boys, enjoy the weekend. Happy James Harden Day. Let's go Sixers tonight.
James Harden Day?
That's what we're calling it as Sixer fans, because it's James Harden's debut tonight.
In other words, it's akin to the beginning of the end.
I hate his beard. He should shave that stupid beard off.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for...
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Your years of patronage.